You may be in a relationship right now that is suffering mightily, and you can't quite put your finger on why there's so much tension between you and this other person. Or maybe someone's putting the tension back on you, and you're trying to figure out, why is it that we're having such a hard time reconciling this relationship? Well, Nan Brown Self is an author. She's a licensed counselor, former member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and she has put her finger on the pulse of what is ailing us in our relationships and other relationships, too. And at the issue of forgiveness, she's written a book on this called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We have a link up for it at thebottomlineshow.com. Nan Brown Self, welcome to The Bottom Line Show today.
Thank you so much, Roger.
Why is this so hard for us? I mean, we love to get forgiveness from other people. We love to get forgiveness from God. We have such a hard time showing forgiveness to others. Why do you think that is?
Well, part of it is ignorance. When I began to study forgiveness, I knew absolutely nothing about it. And one of the first things that I learned was that when someone offends you through unkind words, criticism, judgment, or whatever it is, God immediately gives you the grace to release that offense to Him. But if you choose not to receive God's grace and take the offense into your heart and hold the offender accountable through unforgiveness, then you put yourself in the prison of unforgiveness. And then to be released from the prison of unforgiveness, you go through the steps of forgiving.
I love that visual. I mean, I like it in the sense that I think it helps to frame the conversation we're having here today on the program, but it's a little cryptic, too, to say unforgiveness is a prison that we get locked into. Talk about what that prison looks like, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are locked into it right now and don't even realize it.
Absolutely. The prison of unforgiveness, that door opens quickly when we make a decision in our heart. It may not be conscious, but it may be subconscious, that we are offended. And if we hang on to that offense, then we go into the prison of unforgiveness, and the door closes quickly. And the way you get out of it is you go through the steps of forgiveness. And there are a few of them, and they're very graphic. First of all, you ask God to show you what your unforgiveness is, and you wait upon Him and listen to Him, and then He will show it to you. And whatever the sin is, whether it's abandoning someone, being unavailable because of your choices, when someone is really in need, these sins can go to the cross. You can ask God to forgive you for your unforgiveness and ask Him to nail those to death upon the cross. And then, being the wonderful and big God that He is, He is willing, if you ask, to give you a new heart. And that new heart can have all sorts of wonderful things like forgiveness, acceptance, love, all of the needs that were not met, perhaps, in your childhood, and God is just waiting to meet those needs. So you take your sin to the cross, you confess it, you repent of it, and there's a word that I really love that's really goes right along with repent. It's to renounce your sin. And when you renounce your sin, that means you fall out of agreement with it. And then you ask God to meet your needs that were not met as a child, such as perhaps acceptance, unconditional love, worth and value. And then you ask for the new heart of forgiving, you receive it by faith, and then you thank Him for your answered prayers.
Well, it's powerful. And talking with Nan Brown Self today here on The Bottom Line, and I'm Roger Marsh, talking about this concept of forgiveness, because What I'm getting from you, Nan, in terms of what you're describing here in the process, and you write about this in your book called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. What I'm sensing is that there really is not only a spiritual connection between forgiveness and grace, but also a connection between the fact that those who are redeemed can truly forgive because we've been forgiven. Those who haven't been redeemed yet really don't have the capacity to do so because they don't understand the grace component. So now when you take somebody who's a Christian who has been done wrong by somebody who's outside the faith, you can see that that creates a whole separate set of problems too.
Yes. Yes, it does. And, you know, the generosity of God, the grace of God, that He would love us so much to send His Son to die for our sins. And then when we choose to receive that sacrifice, then we receive God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And what does He want us to do with it? He wants us to give the forgiveness away.
Amen.
He never intended for us to keep it. He wants us to be part of a multiplication system that, you know, someone hurts you, you forgive them, you release them. And just think about the fact that if you forgave five people, and those five people forgave five people, you could be on the beginning of a forgiveness revolution.
Oh, I like that. I love the sound of a forgiveness revolution there. Can you imagine what would happen in the world right now? I mean, and that's it's really dramatic. Nan, I don't know if you're part of what you consider a large church or not. I know some of our listeners are in congregations with members of a couple hundred people and some with several thousand people. But can you imagine what would happen even in one church? If everybody said, okay, I'm going to find, I mean, God has given me the grace. He's shown me forgiveness. I'm going to show that same forgiveness to even five people, and how that would multiply even just in a church before it spills over into a neighborhood, a community, a state, even a nation.
Absolutely. And it would be a groundswell, and it would be multiplication. And see, this is what God, you know, we're always asking God for things, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
But let's ask, what does God want from us? First of all, He wants us to accept what His Son did for us on the cross, receive that forgiveness, start bringing that forgiveness into your heart. Let it bring health and healing. You know, it says in the Bible, I would that your soul be in health. You know, if your soul is in health, then you are going to reach out to others. And I think one of the things that God wants from each one of us as we go through our own journey, everybody's journey in forgiveness is tailor-made by God.
Mm-hmm.
And He has special steps for us to go through. So you ask yourself, what do you want from me, God? God wants us all to become ambassadors of forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. What a great mantle for us to wear, because we've been shown forgiveness by God in our relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So now we are ambassadors of forgiveness. Nan Brown Self is with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh, author, educator, counselor, and author of the brand new book called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We have a link up for that at thebottomlineshow.com, as well as for her website, forgivenessbygrace.com. Nan, as we've been talking about this from the spiritual sense, and I realize that this is maybe a tough question to ask here for a short answer, but let's talk about where this whole idea of, you know, forgiveness is so difficult for some people because of something you identify as bitter root judgment. And I want you to unpack that for us.
Yes, bitter root judgment. A bitter root judgment is a judgment that a person makes at some time during their childhood, usually against a father, mother, or caregiver. It may be subconscious. It may be conscious, but because of the law of sowing and reaping, when you judge one of your parents, you are condemning yourself to do the very thing that you judged in them.
Hmm.
If you do not become like them, then you will be in an important relationship with someone who is like the very thing that you judged in your parents. So there are three laws of bitter root judgment. The first one, I believe, is the most important because it's one of the Ten Commandments. And it says, honor your father and your mother,
mm-hmm.
as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which God gives you. So of all the people that are important in our lives, our parents are the most important because they have the most influence on us.
Hmm.
And then the second law is do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged, criticized, and condemned. And then the final one is whatever you sow, you will reap.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very basic formula for identifying this. And we've touched on a real nerve here, a real root, if you will, in terms of why forgiveness is so difficult for us, and yet at the same time, why forgiveness is so essential for us and growing in our lives as Christians. Nan Brown Self is my guest today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We've got a link for the book and also her website, forgivenessbygrace.com, up at thebottomlineshow.com. We're talking about the essence and the necessity of forgiveness today here on The Bottom Line.
Just some things that numbers can't measure. The matters of the heart.
Nan Brown Self is my guest today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. The book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. And we've got a link up for the book at thebottomlineshow.com. She's an author. She's an educator. She's a counselor, too. Was counseling an initial calling for you? Was it later in your ministry years that God said, I want you to start working with families and individuals in this way?
Now, it was in my later years. I was first a Bible teacher.
Well, very good. Right.
And then I became a counselor.
Well, and I can, good for you, because you get the one foundation, then you move in the other area. And it's becoming more important, isn't it? I mean, I've talked to a lot of pastors who said, gosh, when we were in seminary, they taught us a lot about, you know, homiletics and systematic theology. They didn't necessarily prepare us for the types of things that we need to deal with today. And as we're talking about your book, Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace, that's something that we might just kind of, forgive others as you've been forgiven by God. I got it. Check off the box and move on without realizing, hey, a lack of forgiveness, a spirit of unforgiveness, or like even talk this bitter root that really takes hold when we're younger, that can be life-altering if it's not dealt with properly.
Absolutely, it can. And, you know, when you say bitter root judgment, the word judgment, to judge your parents is to dishonor them.
Hmm.
God wants us to honor our parents. Mm-hmm. He does not want to judge them. And so, you know, people have said to me, well, how do you identify your bitter roots? And I tell them, well, first of all, look at your relationship dynamics with important family members and friends, and see what repeated problems do you have with people who are important to you.
Hmm.
And people have said to me, okay, well, tell me what bitter root judgments look like.
Yes.
Or sound like. And so this is just a small list. If you judge your parent for being critical, you're going to reap criticism.
Mm-hmm.
If you judge them for being emotionally unavailable, you're going to reap important people in your life who are emotionally unavailable. If you judge them for never being satisfied with what you do, you're going to reap people in your life, important people to you, who are not satisfied with whatever you do. If you judge them for being a workaholic, you might either become one, or you may be in an important relationship with one.
Hmm.
What about abandoning you? If you judge them as abandoning you, then you may reap someone who is very important to you who will abandon you, or never having enough time for you. People who don't have enough time for you because you've judged your parent. So not giving me enough affection, that is a big one, and I saw that often
mm-hmm.
with dealing with children and families. What are the two things that children are looking for? They're looking for time
mm-hmm.
and attention with affection.
Right. Right.
So that's just a short list,
yeah.
Roger.
Well, a more comprehensive takedown on this, on the book Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace by Nan Brown Self, which is up at thebottomlineshow.com. That is so interesting, Nan, because I was listening to all those, I know people who have that story, you know, in a situation with their parents or whatever. And my first mm-hmm. thought was, okay, but at the same time, though, this happens a lot with men. Let's take the emotionally unavailable dad. When I was growing up, you know, they weren't nearly as involved as my generation and whatever, because that wasn't the norm. Dad went to work, made money, came home, you know, mom,
what?
You know, that's the way it was. And so a lot of guys then, you know, all of a sudden Field of Dreams comes out and it's like, you know, hey, dad, you want to have a catch? You know, where all these guys are saying, wait, my dad wasn't available for me when I'm younger. And I can imagine that there are some guys who are saying, wait, okay, I want to identify if there was a problem there. But I think what I'm hearing you say, Nan, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a distinction between saying, okay, I've identified the problem, and I'm judging my parent for that. And that's something that we, in our adult years, have to say, boy, if I did that when I was younger, I need to correct that.
Exactly. And, you know, Roger, the first time I had learned about bitter root judgment, the first time I made a list of bitter root judgments, and I asked God to guide me, It took me 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I know that part of it was I didn't want to identify the bitter roots because I thought that I would be rejudging my parents. But the Lord showed me that, no, I was beginning to take responsibility because I was going to take these judgments to the cross and ask God to forgive me for judging them. And then I was going to ask Him to forgive me for judging them, and I was going to forgive myself for judging them.
Hmm.
So, and also, when you make a list, that means you need to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us are reluctant to jump into this. We're afraid it's going to be too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, God's journey for you in forgiveness is tailor-made for you. It's not like anybody else's, and He will show you exactly what you need to know, when you need to know it, and then you want to go ahead and take the steps to release the past.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Nan Brown Self is with me today here on The Bottom Line. Author, counselor, educator. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We have a link for the book up at thebottomlineshow.com, as well as for her website, forgivenessbygrace.com, which is also at thebottomlineshow.com. Okay, Nan, there's someone listening to us right now who says, okay, this is all very well and good. However, what am I supposed to do with it? I mean, if my parents are still with us, do I bring this to their attention and ask for forgiveness? What are the process beyond that? Identifying it is key, of course, but what next? What do we do with it?
Well, first of all, you do not go to them and tell them. You need to go straight to God. God's going to be the one to help you make the list. Then you're going to confess your bitter root judgment to God, and you're going to name them. You're going to name what you have judged them for. That's very important because we need to be specific so that we can confess our sins and then repent of our sins. Like, perhaps, God, I forgive my mother for not being present and nurturing during my childhood, and I forgive myself for judging her, and I repent of my sins.
Hmm.
And then you just ask God to take that judgment to the cross and nail it to death. You ask Him to remove the judgment and give you a new heart. You know, in Ezekiel, it talks about a heart of flesh on which His laws are written. He is willing, He is waiting and willing to give you a new heart. And then you ask God to meet the needs that were not met in you as a child, such as unconditional love, acceptance, worth and value, security, mm-hmm. recognition, nurture and emotional nourishment, and comfort. Now, those are basic needs of children. Now, they are also basic needs of adults.
Right.
And many, many of us as adults have not had these needs met.
Hmm.
So if you haven't had these needs met, you go straight to God.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask God to meet these needs. And He is so willing and so ready to meet these needs. And then finally, you ask God to show you how the bitter root has affected or hurt your relationships with others. And you pray and ask God to heal those relationships and thank Him for your answered prayers.
Mm. Well, it sounds very simple. It's very straightforward. And yet I'm sure for some people it's very, it's healing, but it's also kind of gut-wrenching too, isn't it, Dan, to have to walk through those steps. The deliverance is there. Just because it involves some work doesn't mean it isn't going to bring lasting healing. I'm talking with Nan Brown Self today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We've got a link up at thebottomlineshow.com. Nan, there's someone who's saying, hey, but you know what? I figured this out, and I don't need to do all this stuff because I just kind of let it go. You know, I'm over it, and it's no big deal. You talk about a prison of passivity, too. I want you to kind of circle back around to that, too, because I can imagine that would be just as dangerous as the prison of unforgiveness.
Yes, it is. And the prison of passivity, it's really interesting because a prisoner in passivity is held captive and restrained by their unwillingness to make decisions for themselves.
Hmm.
God has presented a choice to them, and for whatever reason, they're too busy, they don't want to take time, whatever the reason is, they don't make the choice. So when they don't make that choice, one bar goes down in the prison of passivity in the cement. But the person that didn't make the choice, it doesn't bother them because they're going in and out and in and out. They don't even notice that one bar.
Mm-hmm.
So then many other choices are presented by God, and for whatever reason, they do not make the choice. Every time they don't choose, another bar goes down in the prison of passivity. And one day, you don't know it, but this is your last opportunity to stay out of the prison. And for whatever reason, it's an important thing in your life God is presenting to you, and you choose to be passive and not to make a choice. And the last bar has gone down in the prison. So you got into the prison slowly, one lack of decision at a time. You get out of the prison slowly by choosing. Every time God presents you with a choice, you make a choice, and you remove that bar in the prison of passivity. Now, I do have a remedy for passivity,
okay,
and the remedy is diligence. It requires diligence to get out of the prison of passivity. Now, a diligent person is decisive. They are not idle. They are busy and careful and alert. They are decisive. They are patient. They persevere. And they have endurance. And some of the characteristics of a diligent person are productive, watching over their attitudes, not fearing their enemies, taking any fear to God and asking Him to deal with it. They speak up when they need to speak up. They are silent when they need to be silent. They watch over their heart with all diligence, and they are decisive, and they press into God in the wilderness, and they go through that wilderness to the promised land.
Diligence is a virtue, especially, you know, for every aspect of the Christian life, but I can see especially when it comes to the area of forgiveness and healing and repentance. And Nan, you've given us some great word pictures to consider as we think about the role that forgiveness plays in our lives. Nan Brown Self has been my guest today here on The Bottom Line. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We have a link for that at thebottomlineshow.com, as well as to her website, forgivenessbygrace.com. Nan, thank you so much for being with me on the program today.
Thank you, Roger, so much for having me.